I think that the story we've just heard read is a curious way to begin the tale of Jesus' ministry. Of course, there could have been other ways for Matthew to begin to tell the story of Jesus. For instance, after Jesus' baptism and temptation in the wilderness, Matthew could have recorded a sermon by Jesus. That's the way Luke does it. Luke begins by telling of the preaching. Matthew could have begun by giving us Jesus' first sermon as well, but Matthew doesn't. Of course, Jesus' significance isn't simply in what he said, but also in what he did. So Matthew could have begun by telling us about a sermon Jesus preached and then follow that by some miracle that Jesus performed, some miraculous act of compassion. But Matthew doesn't do that either. No, right at the beginning, the first thing Matthew has Jesus do is call people to join up. Ordinary people, fishermen, who are called to help him do his work. So Matthew begins. From that time, Jesus began to announce, "Change your hearts and lives, here comes the kingdom of heaven." And right after that, he enlists ordinary people to help him in that mission. He sees some people fishing, and he calls them by name. "Come, follow me," he says, "and I'll show you how to fish for folks." And right away, they leave their nets and they follow him, Matthew says. Isn't that interesting? Jesus is God's son. God told us this at Jesus' baptism. But he isn't going to work alone as a free agent. Whatever he intends to do, he will do it with and through ordinary, everyday people. I expect this is the route God took to bring you to baptism and to the Church of St. Michael and St. George. Some of you might be fortunate enough to have had God come to you in some spectacular technicolor way, and that's great. But I suspect that most of you were brought into God's reign in utterly unspectacular ways by ordinary people obeying Christ's commission to be fishers of people. Perhaps you met Jesus through responsible, loving parents who lovingly told you the story of Jesus and lived the Christian life with you. Some of your parents may have brought you to church each Sunday out of maybe nothing more than habit. But of course, there's nothing more powerful than habit, is there? Others were invited here by a friend who sat next to us at a desk in an office, or somebody you talked to at school, or some companion who simply said, "Why don't you come?" So this morning, I ask you, have you reeled anyone in lately? I think it still holds true that when people are asked why they aren't active in church, the reason they give more often than not is, "No one invited me." And that sounds rather unspectacular, and I guess it is. But nevertheless, it's the main reason they give. They don't say, "I would come to church, but I have some real misgivings about the Apostles' Creed." No, they don't give theological reasons, just the ordinary little phrase, "No one invited me." When was the last time you were fishing with Jesus? Some of you might say, "Well, in this country, the Constitution tells us that religion is a personal, private matter." The trouble is, Jesus doesn't know that. So Jesus makes faith public, a matter of public invitation and public response. Christianity is not exclusively private and personal. Here's Jesus walking along the road, calling on people at their work, going to where they are, intruding in on them, asking them to become part of his movement. Nowhere does it say that Jesus said, "I want you to sit quietly and think about me." Rather, he says, "Follow me." He doesn't ask people to seek him out. He seeks them out. Or you might say, "Well, I don't want to be pushy and force my faith on anybody else." And I suspect that this is not as great a sign of humility as we would like to think. Rather, we know it's risky to intrude on anyone else's life. and to try and talk to them about important matters. And so we North Americans keep our lives compartmentalized, safe and sealed from the things that really matter. And yet Jesus, in today's gospel, commissions us to invite people to follow him by saying, "Why don't you join me at our church this coming Sunday?" It's easy to slip out of the fishing business, to simply bed down here with our own members, to keep house, to evaluate church exclusively on how the church looks from the inside, rather than how it looks from the outside. It's easy to assume that being Christian is synonymous with being nice. But people aren't born Christian. They've got to be invited, lured, persuaded, caught, reeled in by those who love Jesus enough to love those whom he loves. Once at L.L. Bean, I was talking to someone who taught people how to fish. He said, in order to catch a fish, you've got to think like a fish, to know their habits, to understand what they're eating, to know the optimum ways to attract them. And I thought to myself, you know, you're not going to just put a boat out into Penobscot Bay and find the fish jumping into the boat. But of course, isn't that what we Episcopalians do? We think if we have the biggest, nicest, plushest, fanciest yacht, the fish are going to want to jump in out of the sea. Oh, if Jesus had only said to us, "Follow me by organizing a church with some nice people just like you." But he didn't. He said, "No, follow me, work with me, fishing for people." I bet we could do more to equip you in your ministry of fishing. Note that Jesus doesn't imply the work comes naturally. He says he will equip us for this work. He doesn't say he will teach us correct doctrine or right behavior, when to genuflect or kneel. He says he will teach us what? How to catch people, to participate in his moves in the world. Twice a year, I'm on the faculty of a continuing education conference for clergy in West Virginia. And the great thing about it is that I meet clergy from all different sorts of denominations. And it's always interesting to hear their take on fishing. I remember one who told me that his congregation believed that the kingdom of God was more integrated than that congregation was. And so they set themselves a goal of adding 3 African-American families to the membership of that congregation in the year to come. The next time I saw him, I asked him if they'd met their goal. He said they did. I asked him how he did it. He said, "Well, the key was this fellow named George Smith." George runs what's probably the best garage in town. And George, without my telling him to do it, just started asking his customers when he fixed their cars, "Hey, do you have a church home?" Then he'd ask them if he could come and pick them up on Sunday and bring them to our church. And after that, God took over. I think of another Baptist pastor I know who I met at this conference. He's the pastor of a rapidly growing Baptist congregation in Virginia. Last year, they added a 4th Sunday morning service because of a crowd problem. And he's taken a liturgical response to fishing. At the end of each Sunday service, after he blesses the congregation, he shouts out at them, "And let's remember what our mission is." The mission is, and the congregation shouts back at him, "Fishing." The mission is fishing. Amen.